You're listening to WCNO, Palm City.
Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is Pastor Richard Pope with my wife, Pastor Lucy Pope, from the Word of Truth International Ministries Incorporated. We're so grateful that you decided to join us today, and we know the Lord has a blessing just for you. Good morning. It's certainly good to be in the number one more time. We just thank God for another day. Hey, we didn't make this day, but God did, and we're going to rejoice and be glad in it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. It's just good to be alive on this morning. We thank God for another opportunity to break the bread of life and to share the word of God, which is Jesus himself. So we don't take it for granted that we have this opportunity. And we're just glad to be alive on this morning. There's a lot of folk, and you hear me say this over and over again, there's a lot of folk, if we call on them this morning, they wouldn't be able to answer. But I have to believe that if there was one thing somebody who was in hell want to hear again, and that would be repent. And we hear it all the time, and we take it for granted. But we have another opportunity. We have another opportunity to repent, turn from our ways that are not godly, our ungodly ways, turn from the things that we know that we shouldn't be doing or saying, or the way that we're acting, and turn from those things and live for Christ, and just, you know, live and walk by faith and love. Even though folk treat us all kind of ways, you got to love them. We're commanded to love them anyway. And we're going to love the hell right out of them. And a lot of folk are full of hell, and they just bitter and miserable because of what life has dealt them. But and you know, we all have a tendency sometimes to start floating that way, but we have to be reminded that Christ said that he's already overcome. In this world, there will be tribulation. There will be trials. There will be circumstances. There will be situations. He never said it was going to be easy. But he said, be of good cheer, for I have already overcome the world, overcome this world system, overcome everything that the enemy would throw at you. That's why he came in the flesh, so he could identify what we're going to go through, what we're going to be tempted with. And he was not tempted nowhere. He didn't sin anywhere. So he was our example. God, Jesus was God in the flesh here with us as an example that we can do it too. And he's already overcome everything. Everything that you might think you're going to go through, past, present, and future. So there's hope in Christ. There's hope in Jesus. So don't be discouraged. Don't be dismayed. You already have the victory in Christ Jesus. He's already paid the price. So all thing we have to do is receive him, believe him, have faith in him, accept him as our Lord and Savior, live for him, and trust him, because his ways are not our ways, and his thoughts are not our thoughts. They are far as part as the heaven is from the earth, and that's a long ways. So there's a big difference. But what we're being groomed as we follow him to be like him, and we can be like him. Most gracious and eternal Father, we come before you right now, just seeking your grace and your mercy, Lord God. We come before the throne of grace. Father God, there's no other place we can go for help, Lord God. There's no other place we can go to be thankful and grateful for what you've already done. Nobody can take the credit. Nobody can get your glory, Lord God, your honor and your praise. Lord, we come this morning with thanksgiving on our lips, Lord God. We enter your courts with praise and your gates with thanksgiving. Lord, we just thank you this morning. We magnify you and we glorify you for who you are. You're God, and you're God all by yourself. You sit high and you look low. We thank you that you're in control of everything that's going on with us, that we're not left alone. You said you would not leave us nor forsake us, Lord, and we're standing on it this morning. We're standing on the finished work at Calvary's cross. The finished work we're standing on. Jesus said it is finished. And so we know we already have the victory, Lord. We come this morning just to say thank you, Lord. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your healing power. Thank you for your covering power. Thank you for salvation. Lord, thank you for Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for the Holy Spirit living on us, in us, around us, with us. Oh, we just bless your name this morning. Lord, we thank you for your Holy Spirit that's drawing those that don't know you this morning. Drawing them because they can't come unless you draw them by your Spirit, Lord. Oh, we just thank you for the Holy Spirit drawing the backslider back into the fold this morning. Yes, Lord, let them know that they haven't gone so far that you can't draw them back in by your Spirit, that you can't clean them up and brush them off and put them on the mission that you've assigned for their life, Lord, the purpose and the destiny that you have for them. Lord, we're just so grateful this morning for the Holy Spirit. We can do nothing without you, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, have your way over these airways right now. We take authority right now over the airways in the name of Jesus Christ, led by your Spirit. And we curse the enemy that will come and try to steal the seed of the word before it's able to be planted in the fertile soils of the hearts of your people, Lord Jesus, and germinate and come to life and bear much fruit. Oh, we thank you, Lord, for your word this morning. Oh, Father, we thank you right now for your healing virtue being poured out on all those that are under the sound of my voice that are in need of a healing, Lord God, that are going through in their bodies, Lord God, mentally, physically, spiritually, Lord God, emotionally, those that are going through, Lord God, give them peace right now in the name of Jesus. Lord God, touch their bodies right now. Lord, we know that you are a divine healer. We know that you can make the body whole and cure because you designed the body and you know everything about it. The very hairs on our head, Lord, we're trusting you this morning, Lord God. We're trusting you. We know that you put physicians in the land, Lord God, but we're trusting and believing you to guide the physician's hand, to give them wisdom and knowledge of what to do, Lord God, if that's the way you choose to make us whole and cure. Lord, we ask a special blessing on the owners of this radio station, Lord God, the technician, the men and women who make it happen, Lord God, all the men and women who come through here preaching and teaching and ministering your gospel, Lord God, and singing your gospel's songs, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Lord God, strengthen them, anoint them, Father God, and give them what they need for the journey, Lord. We just bless you and magnify you right now. And thank you for using us, Lord God. Using us for your glory, using us for your work, Lord God, here on this earth realm. Father God, we thank you right now that you would give strength to these bodies, Lord, these earthen vessels, these earth suits, Father God. Give us strength in them, Lord God. Give us healing and deliverance in them right now in the name of Jesus, Lord. And we thank you, Lord. We give you praise, we give you honor, and we give you glory because you're worthy, God. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And we thank God for another opportunity to break the bread of life, because this is our daily bread. This is our day. Give us this day our daily bread. And we thank God for our daily bread. And this morning we're looking at chapter 4 in Romans. And I'm going to read verses 3 through 5 to start with. And I'm reading from the King James Version. And it reads this thus. For what saith Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Amen. Amen. And Paul is saying, for what saith the Scripture? Listen, I'm not gonna argue with y'all, I'm not gonna debate with y'all, but what saith the Scripture? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. And so this is still dealing with what we've been talking about. We are justified by the justifier, by faith, not by works. We can't do anything to earn this. For what does the Scripture say? If it don't line up with the Scripture, then we need to check it. So we get opinions and we hear voices from all over the place. But what does the scripture say? And you must be born again to follow the scripture, because it's like foolishness to one who don't believe. But for those of us who believe, and the Old Testament does not say Abraham was declared righteous because of his works. Instead, Genesis 15 and 6 says that Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And that's the same thing it's saying right here in Romans, the 4th chapter. So it's reiterated. Paul makes it clear Abraham's righteousness did not come from performing good works. You know, Abraham didn't perform no good works, but from belief in God. It was a righteousness obtained through faith. Generally, the Jewish teachers of Paul's day believed that Abraham was justified by his works, by keeping the law. Ancient passages from the rabbis say, we find that Abraham, our father, had performed the whole law before it was given. And Abraham was perfect in all his deeds with the Lord. So this is what the rabbis argued, that Abraham kept the law perfectly, but before it was given, you know, but that's not so. Abraham was made righteousness in all of his, he wasn't made righteousness in all of his doings, but God accounted Abraham as righteous, huh? He counted him as righteous. Our justification is not God making us perfectly righteous, but counting us as perfectly righteous. After we are counted righteous, then God begins to begins making us truly righteous and bringing us to that resurrected life, because we are a new creature. We are made new. So he begins to work in us once we have received him, and once we have the gift of salvation, and he starts to work on us, and he fills us with his Holy Spirit, and he starts to clean us up. It's not that we are righteous, but because we believe by faith, huh? It's by grace through faith that we believe and we receive, so we are made the righteousness of God. It was accounted to Abraham. That means it was imputed, it was reckoned, it was added to his account. It's not that he deserved it, but he believed God. So, and that's where we at today. Whose report are you going to believe? What are you going to believe? Are you going to believe God? Are you going to believe his word? Are you going to believe the world system? Huh? Because the world system keeps you in a web of deception and gets you in bondage. I mean, we're in it, but we're not of it. So we have to keep this in mind, that we're governed by the word, and the word is our guide. Huh? The Holy Spirit is guiding us through the following of the word. We have to stay in the word and stay in prayer and walk by faith. Count it in the Greek is logizome. It was used in early secular documents, put down to one's account. Let my revenues be placed on deposit at the storehouse. I now give orders generally with regard to all payments actually made or credited to the government. So it is accounted to us when we do our taxes. If we don't owe nothing, it's accounted. It's accredited to our account, a refund. And so this is what God has did with righteousness, because we believe God and we have faith in him. Thus God put to Abraham's account, he placed a deposit for him, credited to him righteousness. Abraham possessed righteousness in the same manner as a person would possess a sum of money placed in his or her account. So God placed it in his account, same way he placed it in our account, as we believe it is accounted to us, imputed, reckoned. Genesis 15:6 does not tell us how other men accounted Abraham. Instead, it tells us how God accounted him, and that's what matters, how God accounts us. Because man might say he's going to give you something and don't, or he might tell you he's going to do something and don't, but we can trust in God. Man is fickle. He changes like the wind. So we can't put our trust in man, no woman, no child. We have to put our trust in the living God and his dear son Jesus and the finished work on the cross, because he's already paid the price for us. He's already accounted everything to us as righteous. He's accounted to us as righteousness. So through our faith in Jesus Christ, we have it in our account. We don't deserve it. No, we don't deserve it. But it's unmerited favor. It's his grace. It's his grace. And it's so powerful that how a God so loving and so caring could give us what we don't deserve just because we believe in him. And we must believe in him, even though things are getting a little crazy and sometimes a lot crazy. But we just have to look up and trust God. For our redemption is drawing nigh. We know no time is winding up and we're getting close. Righteousness is also more than the absence of evil and guilt. It is a positive good, meaning that God does not only declare us innocent, but righteous. So we are made the righteousness of God in Christ. We have to be in Christ. That's very important. You can't do it by yourself. That put us back in works. We can't work. We can't work and earn this. Our works wasn't good enough. So it's through a grace, the dispensation of grace, a distinction made between grace and works. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as a debt. But to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, His faith is accounted for righteousness. So here we go again. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace. The idea of grace stands opposite to the principle of works. Grace has to do with receiving the freely given gift of God. Works has to do with earning our merit before God. We can't earn it. We can't do enough. Our best ain't good enough. Our best ain't good enough. We have to rely on the finished work of Jesus Christ and God's grace. Grace. It's his grace. It's not counted as grace, but as a debt. So if we in works, it's counted as a debt. A system of works seeks to put God in debt to us, making God owe us his favor because of our good behavior. In works, thinking God owes us salvation or blessing because of our good works. And that's not how it works. God isn't praising laziness here. No. It don't work like that. So when we get into works, we're saying that God owes us because of our behavior. But we have to receive it as grace through faith. We have to receive it as grace through faith. We have to believe God, because when we believe God, we're solely dependent and trusting on him for the finished work on Calvary's cross, what Jesus did, not of our works, because no man can boast, because if we could do something to earn it, then we would boast, look at what I've done. Look at what I've accomplished. Let me, myself, and I, look at me. No, it's not me, but it's Jesus. We're always looking to Jesus, because our best ain't nothing but filthy rags. But we are made the righteousness of God in Christ, and we have to have faith, through our belief system, through what we believe in. We can't believe that we can do it, because we can't do it outside of him. It's not going to happen. But to him who does not work but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. Righteousness can never be accounted to the one who approaches God on the principle of works. Instead, it is given to the one who believes on him who justifies the ungodly. We believe on God. God justifies the ungodly. Even though when we all, because Romans 3 and 23 already said that all have fallen short of the glory of God. Don't none of us deserve it, but it's his unmerited favor. When we believe and trust on him, we believe and trust on him, him who justifies the ungodly. This is who God justifies, the ungodly. We might expect God would only justify a godly man, but because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can justify the ungodly because God so loved the world. John 3:16, because of what Jesus did on the cross, God so loved the world. It says the world, so that's the ungodly. That's all who would receive the precious gift. So it's not, he's not picking and choosing. He's no respecter of person, but all who would believe, whosoever will believe on Jesus Christ, that's who will not perish. They will have everlasting life. So all, God gave his son for all. So it's the finished work on the cross that gives the ungodly the grace, that makes them righteous, that the righteousness of God in Christ when you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And if you haven't received him, then you're not made the righteousness of God. And you're still out of the ark. You're out of the ark of safety. You're not in that in safety, because when you're in Jesus, Jesus is the ark of safety. Just like Noah, God gave Noah instructions to build the ark. Jesus is our ark. So that ark represented salvation. He was saving them from the judgment that was coming. On all who didn't believe, all who didn't receive. For 120 years, Noah preached the same thing. Repent, turn to God. It's going to rain. Judgment is coming. Just because you've never seen it before, we've never seen the sky crack open and Jesus come down on a cloud. But it's coming. So we have to believe it and we have to receive it. Because if not, he going to come like a thief in the night. If we're watching and praying, we're going to be ready. We're going to be ready. But if we're not, then we're going to be lost. We're going to be lost. So the finished work, God so loved the world. He gave Jesus is our ark. So if you believe him and you receive him and make him your Lord and your Savior, and put away all the foolish things and trust in him and believe and have faith in him, then you'll be in the ark of safety. And Jesus is that ark. The same way that ark floated on the water that came, and Noah and his three sons and their wives and Noah's wife, it was 8 souls besides the animals that was in there, so to regenerate, to repopulate. So they're the only ones that were saved. They were in the ark. So the only ones that are in Jesus are going to be saved. So if you're out of that ark, you need to receive Jesus today. Don't play with it, because you don't know when he's coming and you don't know when your number's going to be up. And you close your eyes and you leave this place. So you don't know, but you got to be ready. You got to be in Christ. If you want to see Jesus, you got to be in Christ. It isn't as if God is happy with our ungodly condition. We are not justified because of our ungodliness, but despite of our ungodliness, in spite of, that's that agape love, in spite of what we are and who we are, God loved us so much that he gave his son to come and pay the penalty to buy us back, to redeem us back into the body. We were out of the body. We out of the ark. Yeah, we out there doing our own thing. Everything we big enough to do, we were doing it. So we are out of the ark of safety. But thank God for Jesus. And thank Jesus for the Holy Ghost, his spirit dwelling on the inside of us when we are born again. But you must be a believer. Huh? Faith is accounted for righteousness. Just as Abraham, so our faith is accounted for righteousness. Just as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, so as we believe God, it is accounted to us for righteousness. And when we receive him, this was not some special arrangement for Abraham alone. We can enter into the relationship with God also. It's not just for Abraham, but it's for us also. So whosoever believes, whosoever receives, it's available to you today. Huh? All you have to do is receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. By this we understand that there are not two ways of salvation, saved by works through law keeping in the Old Testament and saved by grace through faith in the New Testament. Everyone who has ever been saved, Old or New Testament, is saved by grace through faith through their relationship of a trusting love with God, our Father, who art in heaven. Because of the new covenant, we have benefits of salvation that the Old Testament saints did not have, but we do not have a different manner of salvation. So the Old Testament, the New Testament, makes no difference. There's only one way, and that's through believing on Jesus Christ and the gift of his grace. The Old Testament, it was the law. It was the law. So now there was an atonement made for them. The priest had to go in and all this. There was a scapegoat. But now we have grace. When the veil was rent from top to bottom, therefore we can come to God. We can come to Jesus for ourselves. And we can't get to God unless we come through his son Jesus. So be mindful that we have to walk by faith. We have to receive him, believe on Jesus. There's no other way. There's no believe him. You have to believe it. Even us that read it, we have to believe it. Believe that this word is real. This is the inspired word of God. So we have to believe it and receive it, and it's accounted for us as righteousness when we believe through faith. So trust in Jesus. Walk by faith. And don't trust the world system, because it can't save you. So until next time, be blessed. We love you. We're praying for you. Keep the faith. Amen. We pray that the word of truth has touched your heart and mind today. There may be someone under the sound of my voice that has not received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, you know the life I've lived. Forgive me for my sins. I believe you died for my sins and was raised up on the third day. Thank you for saving me. Heaven rejoices over one that comes to repentance and receive Jesus. We encourage you to find a Bible-based church where you can continue to grow in the Word of God. If you would like to sow into this ministry, you can do so by Cash App, and that's $TWOT Ministries. Again, that's $TWOT Ministries, or P.O. Box 8573, Port St. Lucie, Florida 34985. Again, that is P.O. Box 8573, Port St. Lucie, Florida 34985. Until next time, this is Pastor Richard and Lucy Pope. We love you, and we're praying for you. Amen. So I trust them at all times.